Welcome to a special edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. If you have listened to the show today, we had a great in-depth analysis episode with David Cobb discussing the draft in general, as well as the Grizzlies draft, talking with David Cobb about all things Grizzlies and the draft. I'm really looking at, you know, what stood out about Wednesday night, a night that made this offseason obviously get a lot more exciting for Memphis, unexpectedly, but, you know, certainly, you know, they came away with a lot of positivity again from a great night for our front office and franchise. Well, in today's episode, we're going to focus specifically on free agency with a little bit of context, thanks to the Desmond Bain trade finally coming, you know, to fruition. We'll discuss that in the first segment. You know, now that it's completed and we now know what, you know, it cost as well as what came along with Bain, what does that mean as far as the fallout, the ripple effect for the rest of the Grizzlies offseason now that we've got our main, you know, pick from this year's draft, you know, at home here in Memphis. In the second segment, we'll discuss names that the Grizzlies, you know, were associated with last year that now have the ability to potentially part in free agency. A few names the Grizzlies can match contracts on, a few others that are unrestricted free agents. When it comes to D'Anthony Melton, that certainly is the main name to watch, as if he stays, that means that the Grizzlies offseason is pretty much done as far as significant moves, but if he goes, that could open things up. And if he does wind up going, in the third segment, we'll talk about some names that could emerge as targets for the Grizzlies in free agency if they decide that they want to replace Melton or someone else with a significant name and a pretty, you know, relevant commitment. Obviously, you can follow myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. You can follow the podcast wherever they're available. We ask that you subscribe and listen, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen, and let us know what you think. Give us a review. Shout us out. Let us know what you would like to be discussed. We always want to make sure we are discussing content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. But let's get into the trade that occurred when it comes to Desmond Bane, the Grizzlies, and of course the Boston Celtics. Now, as I had mentioned yesterday, one thing that kind of, you know, really stood out in this draft after talking with David Cobb was that for two straight years, the Grizzlies and Celtics have been involved in moves where Zach Kleiman has shown a bit of gamesmanship, been involved in moves where Zach Kleiman has got a player that was falling, an older prospect that was falling, that was clearly becoming a true value of where he was on the draft board, and Kleiman was able to make moves in order to get in front of a team that likely was going to pick him to take him for the Grizzlies. In the 2019 draft, he was able to pull off the trade with OKC to get in front of Brandon Clark, to get in front of Boston to get Brandon Clark, and of course Boston had to settle for Grant Williams. Well, this year, the Grizzlies were able to use Boston as a catalyst to jump in front of Dallas, who likely was going to take Bain at 31, to get to the 30th pick and take Desmond Bain. And obviously you saw that Dallas had some interest in that type of player when they took Tyrell Terry at 31. So the Grizzlies have been very aggressive and also very, you know, astute at knowing when to make the needed moves to get the players that they wanted, and it showed again this year. But of course, it took a little bit longer than anticipated. A big reason why was because, of course, Boston's roster decisions, you know, they were waiting to see what would occur when it came to Gordon Hayward. They were also kind of, you know, seeing what they could do as far as moving salaries. They did make a couple of moves. They moved Poirier to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then a couple of names that they were potentially looking to move out included Enes Kanter. So over the past few days, we heard some potential rumors that were out there. A lot of, you know, complex, you know, moving parts as far as money goes. What was Boston going to be able to do to kind of position salaries to make the most of the player decisions that were being made? Just a lot on Boston's end to figure out. Well, at the end of the day, the trade that wound up occurring was, of course, Desmond Bain to the Grizzlies, Enes Kanter to the the Portland Trail Blazers, and then, of course, Mario Hezonja to the Grizzlies as well, coming from Portland. You know, basically the reason why these players were moved was for salary matching purposes, some exceptions, you know, some players were able to be fit into some exceptions. But this trade wound up being a lot simpler than many had anticipated, because there was talk that perhaps Dylan Brooks could possibly be in the trade. There was talk Memphis could get, you know, another player back in a sign-in trade. Just a lot of speculation potentially out there, even that Enes Kanter could come to the Grizzlies. But at the end of the day, it wound up being a three-team trade, where Memphis did get their guy in Desmond Bane. They got Hezonja, who's last name is hard to pronounce. The outcome with him, I think he's an intriguing prospect, but I think he probably, you know, fits a mold kind of like Josh Jackson did last year, a guy who really hasn't panned out. There's been some questionable stuff about him in terms of his attitude and things like that, and he really doesn't offer a clear benefit, especially in a system such as Taylor Jenkins. So unless Taylor Jenkins wants another project like that, and you saw that Josh Jackson's value and his role kind of dwindled as the season went on last year, it seems like that for Mario, his long-term with the Grizzlies may not be that long-term. He's likely to be waived, though I could see the Grizzlies potentially moving Kyle Anderson if they wanted to and taking a chance on Hrzonja, but I just think at the end of the day, you're likely to see him be waived and for the Grizzlies basically to just, you know, have that roster spot available. The other key to this deal is the fact that right now the trade value that went from Memphis to Boston is considered to be draft considerations. Now, whenever that comes out, a lot of times you're thinking that that means that it's going to be situational. Obviously, it had been reported that it was going to be 2 seconds. There also was a report out there that could be a first-round pick. I personally think that what you're looking at is something that's very likely to be 2 seconds, but maybe in the form of a very heavily protected first-round pick that has like 95% chance to develop into 2 second-round picks if it does not convey. So at the end of the day, thankfully, there wasn't a lot of fanfare in this trade. The Grizzlies basically were able to get their guy in Desmond Bane. They were able to help move some salary between Boston and the Trailblazers. And they also were able to get a guy that they wanted because they were able to take on some money for less value when it comes to picks, which likely will be 2 second-rounders. So at the end of the day, the fact that it's completed is taken care of. The Grizzlies get their guy, and they certainly are able now to move forward knowing that they've got their good draft class in place, you know, to move forward. But obviously, they've got one move in the books. Desmond Bane is now a part of the Grizzlies, as is Xavier Tillman from his press conference earlier today. But what is next? Obviously, the Grizzlies made many more moves than anybody anticipated on draft night, and that's led to a roster crunch. And with free agency now here, there's plenty of action that still remains. Coming up, we'll look at each of the current Grizzlies that is out there that free agency is going to impact. What's the most likely outcome for them? And then from there, if a few of those were to unexpectedly move on to other places, who are some names the Grizzlies could target to take their roster spot? We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Though we have a quick turnaround when it comes to free agency here during this crazy NBA offseason due to the shortened offseason with COVID and everything else, we obviously are going to focus on free agency with the rest of this episode, but we will not stop talking more about the Grizzlies and overall draft coverage from this week. Next week, really excited to welcome Lauren Gunn, a very, very bright mind when it comes to covering the Dallas Mavericks through the Blue Hardwood podcast. Going to talk with her about the Mavericks offseason, talk with her about another team that had a really good draft with the Mavericks, and just some general going forward information, you know, for what could be one of the Grizzlies' biggest rivals. We'll also welcome Brad Rowland, a very, very talented analyst and overall basketball mind. He covers basketball in general, both in college. He mainly covers the Hawks, very well known in the Atlanta area for his sports knowledge. He will be joining us as well, a very good draft mind as well, talking about the Grizzlies draft and the draft overall. Some exciting interviews coming up, and obviously we'll also be breaking down each of the Grizzlies picks next week. But want to get into free agency, you know, since it is now here, you know, we're here within the hour, free agency will be starting. Now, obviously, the teams won't be able to sign, with their players until Sunday at midnight, but there's going to be plenty of rumors and also likely some agreements in place. Obviously, the big news so far with free agency is the deal that did not happen with the Milwaukee Bucks, supposedly getting Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Sacramento Kings, but it didn't work out because it looks like that there certainly was some pressure for the league for that deal, you know, definitely being tampering just, you know, too early in the process. It seems like someone definitely misfired on with their intentions. So it looks like that the league basically stepped in and said, we're not going to allow for this to happen. So obviously Milwaukee is scrambling to see, you know, what they could find as an alternative option. And the free agency did gain a very quality option with Bogdanovic. But as we discuss, when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies, free agency this year probably is not going to be that exciting of a event, because a lot of it has to deal with the Grizzlies simply retaining, you know, their own talent when it comes to especially De'Anthony Melton. Now, if they retain him, it's a great thing, and their free agency basically is taken care of because of the room that they have, you know, when it comes to their budget. If he were to go elsewhere, then it could get a bit more interesting. But let's kind of break it down real quickly. So when it comes to the Grizzlies roster, you've got Jaren Jonas, Justice Winslow, and Dylan Brooks. That's your starting five. And then on your bench, you've got Tyus, you've got Grayson, you've got Brandon Clark, you've got Kyle Anderson, you've got Gorgui Dieng. You've also got Marco Gudurich. Now you've got Desmond Bane, you've got Xavier Tillman. So that right there is 13 names that you've got to fit, you know, into the roster. Obviously now you've got names out there like Marco Gudurich, Mario Hrazanja, as well as, you know, other names. I think that I mentioned Kyle Anderson, but basically there's 13 roster spots that sensibly will be with the Grizzlies either because they were rookie picks or they're already under contract. That leaves two roster spots for the Grizzlies to be able to fill. So you throw Melton into that equation. Well, now you've got 14 roster spots that are already filled with one left. So really it depends on De'Anthony Melton. And the Grizzlies have an exception of about, it's called the MLE, a mid-level exception, about $9.5 million. And basically when it comes to their cap space, they're a little over the cap of $109 million, around $113 to $115 million now, but well below the cap, you know, overall. When it comes to the Grizzlies, they do have three qualifying offers out, and that obviously is De'Anthony Melton, that obviously is John Concher, as well as Jontay Porter. Now, if the Grizzlies were to re-sign De'Anthony Melton, probably somewhere around, I would say, 3 years, $30 million, maybe 4 years, you know, $37.5 million, probably looking at a contract similar to either Tyus Jones's over 3 years or Kyle Anderson over 4 years, that basically takes up the Grizzlies' spot. They've got their 14th spot now on the roster field. They got the player that they wanted at a good price, and they're good to go. You likely see them retain Concher as well on a very cheap multi-year deal. You probably see Jontay Porter walk, especially given the investment that the Grizzlies made in their front court in the draft. But say, for instance, Melton does not come back, because there are teams out there, for instance, a couple of teams that you could think of. You see the Pistons have made a lot of changes, and it seems like that Melton could fit their preference, because they did trade Bruce Brown in a deal. They do have some cap space. They're building a young team. Melton certainly seems to fit their timeline. The Knicks could potentially be someone who comes after Melton if they like him. The Hawks seem to be very sensible as an option, because we know that we've heard talk about them for nearly, you know, beginning last year, talking about using their cap space to take on a young defensive-minded guard to put next to Trae Young. Maybe not necessarily as his long-term running partner, but at least someone that can provide defense and good net value when it comes to his production. So you could see Melton fitting in there, especially with their cap space. Though there's probably 3 to 5 teams out there that sensibly could make a run at De'Anthony Melton. And though the Grizzlies have the ability to match his contract, they also are kind of limited due to the commitments that they have already. So if a team comes in and wants to offer well north of, you know, $10 million a year over 3 to 4 years to sign Melton, well, then the Grizzlies, you know, it really doesn't make sense for them to make that commitment if they're wanting budget flexibility to be as open as possible. At that point, you're probably looking at the Grizzlies working out a sign and trade. And if that occurs, that allows for Memphis to be able to gain a little bit, just like it did with DeLone Wright last year. Now, the difference between the DeLone Wright situation and the Melton situation is that you could see the Grizzlies get a sign and trade and maybe recoup a few of the seconds that they've traded away in their trade. So I don't think, I'm not saying that they got these guys, like they got Bane to replace Melton. I think that they just simply took advantage of an opportunity to get a player that they wanted. But if Melton winds up being too expensive for them to bring back, then they could get some seconds back that they traded out. The difference, though, between last year and this year, though, is that the Grizzlies don't have an alternative option in Tyus Jones that they want to likely sign. They probably could, and they probably would find someone to sign, but the clear preference is to keep Melton. Melton, that domino falling, is what's going to impact John Concher and Jontay Porter. Now, there could be a team out there that may just want to sit there and clearly offer, because they believe in the talent, offer Conjurer Melton, you know, enough money to where they just don't fit into the Grizzlies' plans. And it probably wouldn't take that much because of the fact that Conjurer and Jontay Porter right now are into the bench options. But when it comes to Conjurer, it is likely that the Grizzlies are going to focus on trying to keep him. I know that they really love, you know, what he brings to the culture. I know that he blossomed here as far as, you know, at South Haven and in his limited minutes with the Grizzlies. So I think that he is a preference to really fill out that final roster spot, barring some sort of trade or whatever could occur, you know, in the coming days. So I think Conjurer probably is the much more safer bet to stay than Porter. If Melton were to sign elsewhere, that does improve Porter's chances. But again, with the Grizzlies getting Xavier Tillman, who's going to have a roster spot, and signing Killian Tilly to a two-way, who, though he is only on a two-way, really, really meets the preferences of head coach Taylor Jenkins, I think that when it comes to Jontay Porter, it's more likely than not he goes elsewhere. Nothing against Porter, just a lot of injury questions, and at the end of the day, the Grizzlies wound up finding front court options that they preferred to him. Of course, with Hrgonja now, you know, in the mix, he has a good chance to be waived, and you also will see the Grizzlies likely open up another roster spot when they trade or when they buy out. If they do buy out, which is more than likely, they will buy out Gudurić. So Hrgonja and Gudurić both are likely to either be waived or bought out. So even if they sign Melton and they keep Conjurer, the Grizzlies still could sign a free agent. But, you know, what if Melton does walk and perhaps these players are waived and it winds up being Conjurer, even, you know, and perhaps even if it is Porter, but what if Melton doesn't stay? Well, that opens up the potential for the Grizzlies to go out and at least look into some relevant players. Here in a second, I'm going to take a few minutes to discuss some options that could make sense for the Grizzlies if things were to unexpectedly work out with their own pieces over the next few hours. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And so we finally are here, the final stage of the big three that we were looking at this week. Of course, you know, Monday was the ability for teams to trade. Obviously, the draft occurred Wednesday. And so now we're at free agency. Now, the big thing to know is that the trades are likely not going to end. We could see, you know, a dozen or more trades as, you know, free agent destinations fall. Know some contenders are definitely still looking to add, you know, obviously to their rosters. But when it comes to the Grizzlies, as we discussed in the second segment, there's just not a lot of room there. Not a lot of money. And also, you know, there several of their major spots are already taken up by players they've committed to for multiple years, which is fine for a rebuilding team that certainly has exceeded expectations in a front office that is like the team that it's put together, along with yet another impressive draft class. The Grizzlies just don't have a big need to go out and make a significant move in free agency, basically because, you know, it doesn't really move the needle for them at this point. The best thing for the Grizzlies to do is to naturally just see what happens. If that's making another playoff run, great. If it's, you know, the team improving, yet they don't make the playoffs because other teams further on the competitive timeline do well, that's fine as well, because obviously that means you get better picks and a much better draft in 2021. But depending on what the Grizzlies are looking at, you know, you could see Memphis still make a move, maybe even two if DeAnthony Melton is not out there. Now, the main thing to know is, though, is to what areas do the Grizzlies likely focus on if they were to add a free agent? And of course, we know that coming into this season, or this offseason, big things that really stood out for the Grizzlies were shooting, obviously a third point guard, defense, and secondary playmaking. So it seems as if that when the Grizzlies, when it comes to what the Grizzlies could add, you're probably looking at combo guards or wings of the smaller variety that could offer one of two things. Either good, you know, the ability to play point guard, at least respectably, you know, for a 5 to 10 minute stretch each night, or someone that can certainly shoot with the ability, hopefully, to add value elsewhere. Obviously, a player that's shown 3-and-D potential, but just has not got a lot of opportunity in time is probably someone that, you know, would attract the Grizzlies, but there's also got to be intrigue there. There's got to be something about this player that if they come to Memphis, you could unlock some untapped potential like you've seen the Grizzlies do with several players. So it's not just about getting someone that's 30 that, you know, shows what he's already shown that he could do what the Grizzlies really need. It's also about getting young guys that you can continue to develop and maybe find a diamond in the rough. So with these guys and with these things in mind, there are a few names out there that could make sense, and I'm really going to focus on names that, you know, still could make sense even if we do extend Melton. And one is a very popular name here in Memphis, a well-known name, and that's Chris Chioza. I know that there's a few other places, such as Joe Mullinax on Grizzly Bear Blues. I know the Daily Memphian has mentioned him as well. But he's now out there as a restricted free agent. The Nets, rightfully, you know, for good reason, put him out there. But especially, you know, if Melton were to leave, Chioza could make good sense as a third potential point guard option, one that could come in, and if he winds up showing good enough moxie about himself, could allow for Tyus Jones to become expendable. That's another thing that you're kind of looking for if you're wanting to add a third point guard, someone that may be of a less commitment than Tyus Jones, but could step in and service and obviously replace him with serviceable production to make Tyus Jones attractive, and that way you get further assets. So Chris Chioza, you know, a very solid, heady point guard, someone that I think makes a lot of sense as a true, not difference maker, but just a steady hand when it comes to what he can offer. And of course, you know, I've met him before myself, you know, very nice guy. His connections to Memphis certainly make sense. You could see him being a fit for Memphis, obviously. I know a name that, you know, kind of is out there that could potentially, you know, make sense as far as a young player who probably will not require that much of a commitment, though it's only likely he comes into focus if the Grizzlies don't extend Melton. But it's Derrick Jones Jr. from Miami. But the problem is that there is a lot of value. There is a lot of potential value in Derrick Jones' game, but it's not through shooting. Basically, he's kind of like a bigger D'Anthony Melton, but not as good of a defender. And so when it comes to the opportunity to see what he can do, basically, there's just not a lot of sense in going after Derrick Jones if you didn't want to spend the money that you wanted to on D'Anthony Melton. Because like I say, basically in terms of how they add value, he's a bigger version of D'Anthony Melton, and the Grizzlies likely want to, you know, add shooting in that place more than they do, another player like Melton. Now, if you could sit here, if D'Anthony Melton walks for $12 million a year, you could add Derrick Jones for 4-6, go right for it. But I do think that, you know, you could see both Jones's and Melton's contracts similar to each other. So while Derrick Jones is an attractive name, I don't think he really makes sense unless he just kind of falls into the Grizzlies' lap if Melton goes elsewhere. I know another name that a lot of people like that I didn't mention in the last segment, but obviously played for the Grizzlies last year, is Josh Jackson. I just don't think it makes sense for Memphis to bring him back. They know what they have in him already. Yes, he added value. He does have good potential on defense, but I just don't think it's going to make sense for him to fit back in Memphis. You know, hopefully he gets a multi-year contract elsewhere. But I think with what the Grizzlies have already looked to add, you know, in their front court, and you know, the fact that they will have Justice Winslow next year as well with Kyle Anderson under contract already, I just don't think there's a lot of sense in Josh Jackson's game, especially, again, the fact that even with the injuries, he really didn't get a run in the bubble. So those are some names that could make sense as far as established veterans. Some under-the-radar names, though, that I think could make sense. If the Grizzlies liked what Melton could offer, but that he winds up being too costly, I think that a guard that Chicago just released, who does have similar characteristics in terms of his game, Shaq Harrison, though he is 27, he's probably closer to a finished product than Melton is. He could make sense if the Grizzlies truly do want that type of perimeter defensive difference maker. He's someone the Grizzlies could target. I think another name that certainly stands out to me that, you know, a year or so ago was attractive due to his across-the-board production, his per 36 numbers, is a player by the name of Dwayne Bacon. He was with the Hornets, basically, you know, with where their team headed. It seemed like a fresh start made sense. So I think that Dwayne Bacon is someone, he's the type of player that has shown enough potential in the past with some 3-and-D upside that once you bring him into a system like the Grizzlies, I think you could see him really blossom. even though it may not be but in more than a reserve role, he's shown some flashes in the past. Maybe on the right contract, he could come in and do some work. And of course, another name that I had mentioned before on here that really stood out to me is Brent Forbes. Now, I think Brent Forbes has the potential to be the type of guy that you can still trust to be a part of your rotation because he has that good of a shooting upside. But if that shot's not falling, there's not much more Brent Forbes does. He is certainly a liability on defense, doesn't add a lot of value outside of his shooting. But if the Grizzlies wanted a true sharpshooter as a reserve, especially if Melton goes elsewhere, Brent Forbes could make sense. But I think that they're, you know, the term one-trick pony comes to mind. I do think that Brent Forbes is someone that fits that role, and I just don't think the Grizzlies really want to commit to that. And I don't think they'll have the opportunity to if Melton, were to go elsewhere. Some shooting guards / small forwards that could make sense are Pat Connaughton, Pat Connaughton, played for Milwaukee. He does have familiarity with Taylor Jenkins from the days in Milwaukee. He's someone that certainly has been with Budenholzer for a few years. But I think when it comes to his potential with the Grizzlies, I don't know if he really makes a lot of sense because I think he could probably find, more money elsewhere if we were to wind up keeping Melton. And if we don't, there's probably higher profile players out there that the Grizzlies would target over Pat Connaughton. Another name that I think stands out is Glenn Robinson III. He's someone that did show out well in the past, kind of like Dwayne Bacon, but he's got a little bit of a higher pedigree and profile. I think Glenn Robinson has shown potential in the past, and I think he is someone that you could see blossom for the Grizzlies as a wing, depth, and someone that they could bring in and potentially make Kyle Anderson expendable if they wanted to, so he could stand out as an option as well. But beyond that, those are just some names that I want to throw out there. I don't think that any of these, really have a chance of making sense for Memphis unless they truly decide to go elsewhere when it comes to De'Anthony Melton. I think that the Grizzlies will look to try to get a very, cheap contract on the third point guard to fill out their roster. But I especially think that the Grizzlies wind up keeping Melton, they keep Concher, then you're kind of looking at, okay, what happens at that point? Because you've got a heavy front court depth, you got heavy back court depth. What makes sense? At the end of the day, I do think the Grizzlies may add someone through free agency, but I think it's going to be a very small, very cheap contract where they try to go with the upside, probably someone who can shoot the ball decently, perhaps someone that can also play point guard in a pinch. But I think that you're limited to kind of one or two moves with not much money involved at all, though you could start to see, some little bit more high profile names to fill in De'Anthony Melton's role if he were to walk. At the end of the day, I think De'Anthony Melton winds up staying. I think that the Grizzlies stay true to the players that they have. I think Concher and Melton are back. You probably see Gudurich and Hranza released. There could be a trade that could open up some, a bit of cap space for Memphis. I think Memphis could use like a Kyle Anderson or a Gorgui Dieng or someone along those lines. Maybe even a Dylan Brooks if a deal comes together. But I do think that those three players may be moved for a player that Memphis may have a higher preference for, though I think it's unlikely. At the end of the day, you could see one or two more, external additions to the Grizzlies team, but I think that they're going to simply be there to add to the bench or to fill out the roster after a few names have left. So not a lot of exciting things out there for the Grizzlies, though they certainly have more moves to make. But at the end of the day, that was kind of expected. I do think that you're going to see some interesting things happen. I still think there are one or two more significant, maybe not superstar, but besides Harden, significant names that could be moved. So this free agency session, it may not be involving as high quality of names as you may have thought in the past, but I do feel like that when it comes to the movement that you could see happen, you'll see plenty of it, though I think with the Grizzlies, it'll be more minor tinkering than anything major. Again, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast anywhere it's available. It's been a pleasure talking with you this week. To be honest with you, I could possibly drop another episode over the weekend breaking down, Desmond Bane, or really looking into how Xavier Tillman fits with the Grizzlies. Make sure you check out the Prospect Profile, a show that I did on Xavier Tillman, went in depth with him. I'm so glad that we've got the class that we've got, but we will certainly keep you updated. If there's any major breaking news for the Grizzlies over the weekend, we'll certainly also do a reaction podcast to that. Can't thank you enough again for the support. Again, I cannot thank those that showed me support over the past 24 hours. Cannot thank them enough for taking the time to offer their support. It means a lot. lot. And again, I love every minute that I get to spend with y'all talking about the things that I love, the Grizzlies basketball, and just in general, interacting with those who share the same passions as mine. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure. We're going to talk to you here again soon, more than likely, maybe even again tonight. But until we do, hope you have a great night. We'll talk to you here soon on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.